In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Oh, it's so great to be here with you all again today. And today we have a very special guest. You know, we're preparing for not only for Advent, but we're a change in the liturgical year. You know that the church is on a three-year cycle of readings for Sundays, and then a two-year cycle for the weekday reading. So right now we're in year C, with this emphasis is on Luke, but was the start of the first Sunday of Advent coming up. Oh, about a month from now, we're going to be moving to year A, which is the year of focusing on Matthew's gospel. Right, so Matthew is A, Mark is B, and Luke is C. And we're going to be moving to year. So in preparation for that, I thought it'd be great to have Ken Ogrek on. Talk about biblical devotions for Catholics. He put together, along with Scott Hahn, a beautiful series of biblical devotions based on the Sunday cycles A, B, and C. And of course, A is coming up, and they have this beautiful devotion, one for each of the years. And I thought we'd talk about year A. This is a beautiful series called "Breaking the Bread: A Biblical Devotional for Catholics." Absolutely beautiful little book, and this is so great because it's you can use this for your Bible study in your parish, for OCIA, and many others as well. So we'll talk all about this today on Beacon of Truth, Breaking the Bread, Biblical Devotionals for Catholics. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, sometimes on the show here, people try to call in and they can't get through, or they have a question in their mind, they don't get a chance to ask it. You know, you can always send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com, or you can also send us a text message with your question. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177, wait for response, and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Well, we got a text message from Stephanie. Stephanie wants to know, as a Catholic, can I be a godparent to my nephew being baptized in a Lutheran church? All right, so Stephanie, I would say no, and here's why. Now, we do recognize the baptisms of Lutherans, because Lutherans follow the same Trinitarian formula, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus commanded, Matthew 28:19. Remember, he's about the sense of the Father. Matthew 28 is the last chapter of Matthew's gospel. 19 is verse 19 is right near the end. He's about to ascend to the Father. He's given what's often called the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. So even though they're not Catholics, we do recognize the baptism of many Christian groups, denominations, with some exceptions. For example, Seventh-day Adventists or Mormons, you know, because they don't, when they mean Trinity, they mean something completely other than what we mean as Christians. So in that sense, we are in communion with Luther, with Luther as far as the baptism. The reason why you can't be a godparent, because one of the things that godparents does, if it works the same way in the Lutheran church as it does in the Catholic church, you're making a promise before God to help those parents raise that child in the faith. Now, if the child is going to be Lutheran, then basically, as a godparent, it's not just an honorific, it's not just a title. You know, and for us as Catholics, in canon law, it's actually an ecclesiastical office in the church. It's called sponsor, but the colloquial term is godparent. You're promising to raise that child in the faith. And if the person is Lutheran, then you're promising to raise that child in the Lutheran faith, and you're a Catholic. So I see that as a problem, you know. So I would say no. I mean, I would say thank you for, you know, for thinking about me, you know, but I am, you know, I'm Catholic, and I can't make a promise to raise this child in the Lutheran faith as a Catholic, you know, so I would say no, sadly. But still, you know, bring a present, and you can go to the baptism, of course, because we recognize the baptism. You can go to the baptism. I think serving as a godparent would be a different matter altogether. All right. Well, when we have a guest on, we do our Soulful Psalm segment in this part of the show, and we're going to fire that up right now. All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. Now, we hear these Psalms in every Mass, and, you know, we should be reflecting on how the Psalms connect with us in that liturgical experience, and that's what we try to do on this show. So we're going to be continuing our look at Psalm 74. Psalm 74 is in book 3 of the Psalms. So 1 to 41 is book 1, 42 to 72. Psalm 73 to 89 is in book 3. Psalm 73 to 83 are by Asaph. So Asaph means gather in Hebrew. And so this one, the prescript is very simple. Maskil ha-Asaph. So maskil means enlightened one or scholar. But again, when it's used in the prescripts or superscripts of the Psalms, we don't exactly know, like michtam or maskil. We know what they mean now, but the sense of what they meant back at the time these Psalms were written, we're not exactly sure. So maskil ha-Asaph. And Asaph started off this Psalm, "Why, O God, have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger blaze at the sheep of your pasture?" So this was probably written during one of the persecutions of the Israelites. And so we're going to dive in at verse 18. "Remember this, O Lord," the enemy scoffed. "A senseless people insulted your name. Do not give the soul of your dove to the beasts, nor forget the life of your poor ones forever." So Asaph is beseeching the Lord here. Look, the enemy is making fun of you, Lord. In fact, when they're mocking us and persecuting us, they're actually mocking you, Lord. Right? They're mocking you. They're mocking your holy name. "Do not give the soul of your dove to the beast." I love this imagery of the dove, because we see that, of course, we see the dove in the Old Testament bringing the olive branch to Noah, showing that the water's receding. We also see the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending on Jesus at the baptism at the Jordan, you know, which, and today is Thursday, right? So that's the first luminous mystery, baptism at the Jordan. And so this idea of the dove, don't give over your people, the spirit of your people, to the enemy, Lord. A senseless people insult your name, nor forget the life of the poor ones forever. You know, don't forget about us, Lord, because it's easy to feel that when we're going through something difficult that the Lord is not there. But we know the Lord is always there for us, and Asaph is beseeching the Lord. Then it says, "Look to the covenant." Look to the covenant. Remember your promise that you know, we put ourselves under a curse, right? When you make an oath, it's called shevat in Hebrew. It means to seven yourself, right? To seven oneself, to make a covenant, to swear an oath. Remember the covenant that you made with us and we made with you. "Each cave in the land is a place where violence makes its home." So this culture is going into almost every crack and crevice of our life, Lord. You know, and we see that in our culture today, almost every aspect of our life, television, you know, media, entertainment, all that kind of stuff, sports, you know, social media is all inundated with these cultural influences. And we have to, not saying that we shy away from being in those places, but we have to show the influence of the living God in those places, in social media, in the internet, in all those different places of influence. "Do not let the oppressed be put to shame, but let the poor and the needy bless your name." I love that. So both in the previous few verses, he refers to himself as the poor or the poor ones, the poor and the needy. You know, not just the materially poor and needy, but those who are poor in spirit, right? Those who need the love of God to lift them up, to bring them to a place of peace and of blessing and fulfillment. You know, that's what Asaph is asking for here. You know, so this is an important lesson for us. We also enter into a covenant relationship with God at our baptism, right? We talked about the dove and Jesus being baptized. You know, we also enter this covenant relationship with the Lord. And even now that covenant relationship is being tested, is being tried, is being pummeled by more relativism and subjectivism and this individual way of thinking of our culture. You know, when those things are beating, it's like a storm, you know, we have the ship, we're on the ship and the storm is battering us. You know, the Lord is going to steer us. He's the captain guiding the ship. And he's going to lead us from this place of darkness into his incredible light. You know, so I love that. All right. When we come back, my friends, we're going to dive into Biblical Devotionals for Catholic by Ken Ogarek, who's with us today. He wrote this song with Scott Hahn. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. All right.
I haven't had a chance to tell you, my 14-year-old son has told me he wants to add saxophone to his list of guitar, drums, bass, keyboard, ukulele, harmonica, and a singer.
So I was going to be a little prince.
I'm telling you. To which, in my mind, I told his mom, I was like, hey, by the way, Ryan's ready for saxophone. She just laughed. She's like, one more instrument in this boy's room, and we're going to have to move the bed.
That's a good thing, though.
Right?
I'd be encouraging that. Yeah, we'll play sax? Absolutely. Absolutely. Get that. This will be his first woodwind instrument, then,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, well-rounded.
Well, and he's also, there's a competition going on with the theater group that he's involved in. They're doing a teen songwriters challenge, and he's already written a song that he wants to submit. And he played a piece of it for me yesterday. It's very percussive. And I was like, Ryan, my boy. I was like, I'm going to continue my beaming, awesome. My week of beaming over my children.
Yeah, I tell you, my kids as well, you know, we're all musical. And my son's been playing bass. He asked me to play my guitar other day, which, you know, he doesn't ask that. I said, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, son. So this is great that the kids are getting into music.
Yeah.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
I don't have the heart to tell my wife that I would never say no to buying him another instrument, but between you, me, and the Lord, it's like, all right, you know, we'll see what happens.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah, we should be encouraging that in our kids, the musical development, you know, and especially if they're going to play in church as well. You know, mm-hmm. Music is another way of expressing our faith.
Yep.
Right. So if you say, yeah, but, you know, support their music, then also say, hey, wait a minute. Why don't we take some of your talent and also dedicate some of it to the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, give him back. And I think that way, that's a beautiful way of expressing as well. Amen. Awesome. 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 I'm Deacon Hal Burke. Siri's listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest on, Ken Ogarek, who's talking to us today about a beautiful devotional that he's co-written with Dr. Scott Hahn, Breaking the Bread, a Biblical Devotional for Catholics. You can never get too much of God's Word, I tell you. And this is so beautifully done in this three-volume set that mirrors years A, B, and C of the Sunday cycle of readings. Of course, we're getting ready to enter in about a month now into year A with the start of the first Sunday of Advent. And of course, we would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, don't forget Christmas cards. It is that time, and they are supposed to bring you copious amounts of joy. So why not get your joy of Christmas cards available in the religious catalog? All kinds of great messages from wishing you joy with your home, love within your hearts. There's all kinds of great stuff, plus scripture. And you can add that as a part of your shopping spree at EWTNRC.com.
All right. Ken Ogarek is my guest today, talking about Biblical Devotions for Catholic. Ken has served as a diocesan director of evangelization and catechesis and discipleship ministry for over 25 years. He currently serves as the Secretariat for Worship and Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and is an author, speaker, Catholic leadership consultant, and retreat facilitator. Ken, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Great to be here, Deacon Harold, with you and all of your awesome listeners and viewers.
All right, thanks. So, Ken, this is your first time on the show. So when people are on for the first time, we like to have people give a little bit of their faith story, their faith journey, so people can get to know you a little bit better. I mean, were you always Catholic? Are you a convert? And how did the Lord lead you to doing the work that you're doing right now?
Yeah, you know, I was raised Catholic. I have an older brother who kind of went off in a little bit of a fundamentalist evangelical path when I was in high school. And so when I was in college, I wasn't a religion major initially by any stretch, but you know, you have to take the general ed classes, you know? So there was a class called History of Christianity. And I thought, well, if my brother is right in some of the negative things he's saying about the church, I suppose I might as well find out, you know? So I basically started studying the history of the church, and it had the opposite effect on me. The more I studied, the more I realized that, you know, you mentioned the Great Commission earlier, Deacon Harold, that Jesus Christ established a church, and you know, the word is subsists, right? The church that Jesus intends subsists within our Catholic faith today. So I kind of started taking my faith more seriously, wanted to do something to help young people, teens. I know those are tough years, and I know the faith can help. So I started teaching high school religion, high school theology. I'm just an old teacher. But then I found myself getting invited into diocesan leadership, and the rest is history, as they say. I've been blessed to do church-related work now for many years.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. And, you know, we all have to do what we can to serve the church and all the different capacities that the Lord has called us to. So, Ken, we're talking today about this wonderful series that you have called Breaking the Bread, a biblical devotional for Catholics that you co-authored with Dr. Scott Hahn. So how did this collaboration with Dr. Hahn come about?
Well, I had written a lectionary-based adult catechism a few years ago, Deacon Harold, and so Scott became aware of it through a mutual friend. You probably know Mike Aquilina.
Oh, sure. He's a good dude. Yeah. Yeah.
Great dude. So Scott was visiting our archdiocese speaking a few years ago, and you know, we were just shooting the breeze, and he said, hey, why don't you do a second edition of your book with Emmaus Road, with the St. Paul Center, you know? So I said, sure, great, you know? So the team there started working on it. Meanwhile, they were also compiling a work of Dr. Hahn's reflections on the Sunday Mass readings. And one day they kind of had this aha moment, and they called me and said, you know, we thought we were working on two different books, but then we realized we're really just working on one book. You know, we want to take what Scott does with reflections on the readings themselves. We want to take what you do with, you know, connecting the basic doctrinal and moral teaching of the church to those readings and just make one resource. And that's how Breaking the Bread came to be.
Oh, wonderful. And I love the way that this is done. I have this series myself. You know, I have a lot of books. And, you know, and now I've been ordained for 23 years. You know, I'm always looking for great resources for homilies, you know, and so and I'm also on the advisory board for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. So and I was just there giving with Dr. Scott Hahn and Dr. Bergsma, giving talks to a retreat for deacons there at the St. Paul Center. And so this is a wonderful series here. And I love the way that this laid out. So it's very easy to follow, just beautiful reflections for each of the Sundays for the liturgical year. So tell us a little about the development of liturgical years, because prior to the Second Vatican Council, there was no year A, B, and C, because how did that develop?
Yeah, In previous centuries, there certainly were patterns of recommended readings, but it was really after the Second Ecumenical Council of the Vatican that the lectionary as we know it came into existence. Holy Mother Church wanted us to have more scripture, and so she serves it up to us on a silver platter. This 3-year cycle, it covers virtually all of the content in all four of the Gospels, certainly, and then a huge percentage of the Old Testament, of Paul's letters. You know, there's a responsorial psalm every week. So in addition to the scriptural words and phrases that are in the prayers of the Mass itself, if you go to Mass every Sunday, which you should, you are going to get a nice steady diet of sacred scripture. Maybe that's why we call it breaking the bread. You know, you're going to get fed in word and then, of course, in sacrament.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know prior to Second Vatican Council, there was only one cycle of readings. And I still think in the extraordinary form, there's only one cycle. I think it's Matthew, if I'm not mistaken. It's just the one cycle of reading. So you hear the same readings every year. But I love that after the Second Vatican Council, they wanted to give us more scripture. And so they have A, B, and C. But and people may say, well, what about John? Well, John is gospel shows prominence during Easter season, right? So so during the Easter season, that's when we see a lot of John's gospel come into prominence there. So John's not forgotten in the three-year cycle. And in addition to that, John also shows up a lot in year B because Mark is the shortest of all the gospels. And so, you know, there's not enough to fill all the weeks. And so during the latter part of ordinary time, like in August, that's when we have John 6. We have, I think, 5 or 6 weeks of John chapter 6 as part of year B, which is awesome. Yeah, love John 6. So, you know, we have Advent quickly approaching. You know, I can't believe this year is almost over. So, in the next section, we'll talk about the structure of this. But for now, how can when you break down? I love this Advent, Christmas, ordinary time, Lent, and then Easter, and then you have break down each of the weeks here. It's just so very well done. And it's like pocket size too. You know, you could carry this with you. It's not like a big tome. So how did you envision people using this resource?
Yeah, it's interesting, Deacon Harold. There are people who read this thing cover to cover, just because they find it interesting, and that's fine. But the way it's really meant to be used is kind of on a week basis. Each week's pages only amount to 4 or 5. You know, it's not a big academic book, or it's not going to require a ton of reading. But the idea would be at some point during the week, as you anticipate going to Mass the following Sunday, that you would use breaking the bread first of all to read the scripture passages themselves, and then again, Scott has a short, really really nice section that kind of connects the dots between the readings. Between the Old and the New Testament, I kick in then with a couple of basic doctrinal and moral teachings of the Church and quotes from the Catechism that connect somehow to those Sunday readings. There's a couple of reflection questions that a lot of people, in addition to reflecting themselves, they might discuss with a spouse. Even with kids, you know, these aren't hugely academic questions. And then there's a nice little prayer at the end of each section. So that's kind of, it's designed to be used in anticipation of the Sunday readings, and possibly even afterwards. I mean, if someone wanted to read it afterwards, that's fine as well. But the main thing is you get more out of those readings. The soil is tilled, and you're ready for that word to take root and bear good fruit by God's grace.
Amen. Ken Ogorek is our guest today, who co-wrote a beautiful devotional called Breaking the Bread, a Biblical Devotional for Catholics, along with Dr. Scott Hahn. We're talking all about that today. Would love to hear from you. How are you preparing for Advent? 833-288-EWTN.
Hey, kids.
See, I could definitely tell your kids have been in the production. You got that theater vibe going on, man.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, what's that? Is it 52nd or 42nd Street? Or what is it? The
You're getting into the jazz, the intricacies of jazz. I can't necessarily name them by tune.
Yeah,
Birdland is about as much as I get.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Ken, do you play any instruments at all? Are you musical?
Yeah, I play a little guitar. You know, I was a child of the 70s, so I was jamming at those folk masses, man. It was
yes,
great.
Yes, sir. Bringing it back.
Awesome. Yeah, because Ace and I are musicians. We use music on the show in a lot of different ways, but as a vehicle to bring people, to draw people in, and to, you know, we have to connect music to faith in a lot of different ways as well. So, awesome. I'm Deacon Hal Brick, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Ken Ogorek, talking about a wonderful series he's authored along with Dr. Scott Hahn called Breaking the Bread, a biblical devotional for Catholics. And it's for year A, B, and C. Wonderful. They're all color-coded, too. So you could tell the difference between each of the books. And they're, almost a little bit larger than pocket size, but not the size of a normal book. So you could take this with you and use this as a source of reflection and deepening prayer and intimacy with the Lord all throughout the liturgical year of the church. Would love to hear from you. How are you preparing yourself? And what kind of resources are you using to prepare yourself for Advent and for Christmas and the church season's coming up? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, we want to say congratulations as we are celebrating 27 years with North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Wyoming, because of your faithful support with Real Presence Radio. Say that three times fast. Lynn and the team are doing an amazing job there. And of course, thanks again to your support of Catholic Radio. If you want to get involved, always easy to do. Give them a shout. But again, celebrating 27 stations and 21 years on the air.
All right. I was just with them. I just did their fundraising banquet, gave the keynote at the Real Presence Radio banquet there in North Dakota.
Yeah.
And I'll be next week. I'll be in Rochester, Minnesota. And then one more, Grand Forks, North Dakota, in December. So
you're allowed to go to places warm. You know that.
Yo, I know, right? Why couldn't it bring me in the summertime? but always love supporting our EWTN radio family members. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, my very special guest today is Ken Ogorek, talking about biblical devotions for Catholics. Ken is currently serves in the Secretariat for Worship and Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. He's an author, a speaker, and a Catholic leadership consultant and retreat facilitator. He's put together a wonderful devotional book called Breaking the Bread, a Biblical Devotional for Catholics, co-authored with Dr. Scott Hahn, and produced by Emmaus Road, which is one of the publishing arms of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And so, Ken, in the last time we talked about a little bit about your story, about how this resource came to be, and a little bit now about how people can use this resource. That's what I want to emphasize in this part of the show, how people can utilize this resource for their families, for their parishes, even in schools. You know, let's start there. It's been a while since my kids have been in school, right? But even when my kids were, because they're adults now, even when they were in Catholic school, I don't remember them getting much Bible teaching in the schools at that time. I bring that up to say, not to criticize, but to say, I think a resource like this, which is very accessible, you know, is not intensely scholarly at all, very simple to follow. This would be a phenomenal resource to use in a school setting to prepare the kids for the Sunday liturgy. You know, because they can go through this. The kids can read through it. They can go through the questions, you know, appropriate for their age. Like, you know, I'd say middle school. And so when they go to Mass on Sunday, they're not just hearing things cold. They're actually be able to engage the scriptures and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass even more.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Deacon Harold. You know, what we call lectionary-based catechesis wasn't really well known or popular, you know, when you and I were kids, you know, and even when our kids, to some extent, when our kids were kids, there were some resources out there. But praise God, more and more we see catechetical resources trying to make connections to the Sunday Mass readings. And you're right. What's so great about that is, first of all, the child herself or himself can help prepare and be prepared for Mass. But when the whole family is going to experience those readings together, right? So this resource is a great way for the generations and the different ages of kids, even to have some of those faith-based conversations with each other, you know? It helps prepare them for Mass. And I think from what I hear, the resource actually helps with some discussions after Mass, you know, driving home from Mass in the car, maybe looking at one or two of those reflection or discussion questions. So, good for uses in various settings. I agree.
Yeah. Because one of the things that we used to do, in our family, we used to read the gospel around the dinner table. Like, it's like, say, like a Wednesday or a Thursday night, I'd read the gospel, and then we do the meal prayer. And then during the first part, not the whole dinner, but the first part of dinner, we just like, okay, just read the gospel for this coming Sunday. What's Jesus doing? What's going on? You know, and everybody got a chance to kind of give their thought. Nobody was wrong, you know, or anything like that, but everybody was just giving their idea. Because what that did was, we found, was that when they went to Mass on Sunday, they're more engaged. Because first of all, they're not hearing the gospel for the first time. And then they're listening to the homily. Oh, I wonder if Father's going to talk about what we talked about, that kind of thing. You know, so, but a resource like this is so beautifully laid out and just so simple. You know, like, for example, you take the first Sunday of Advent coming up, which is on the 30th of this month, right at the end of this month. So and what you have the first Sunday of Advent, then you have the readings there underneath. So for the first Sunday, it's just Isaiah chapter 2, Psalm 122, which is one of the Songs of Ascents or gradual Psalms, Psalms 120 to 134. You have Romans 13, and then you have Matthew 24. This is year A, so we're focusing on Matthew. And then you have the reflection there that kind of looks at the readings. But then and then after that, there's another section that kind of, okay, how does this reading then connect with my life every day? And that's, for me, where the rubber hits the road. I love the balance between you and Dr. Hahn. Dr. Hahn kind of breaks open and talks about the scripture, what's going on here, some themes that we can draw from that. But then you bring in kind of the real world thing. Like, here's how we connect this reading that we just heard, these readings in the scriptures, to our everyday lived experience. Like you said, talking about the ethical, the moral, different aspects of it, and bringing that in. And then the question here at the end as well, a couple little discussion questions. Just so well done. How long did it take you to compile this?
Well, you know, So I actually did a correlation. This is going to sound kind of nerdy, but hey, I guess I'll just own it. You know, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has a checklist that they use when they're evaluating the doctrinal content of catechetical resources. So it's about 350 carefully chosen paragraphs from the Catechism itself. So being the catechetical geek that I am, I correlated that 350 or so item checklist with the 3-year cycle of Sunday Mass readings, especially focusing on the Gospels. So that was, it was a little bit like putting a Rubik's Cube together, you know. It took time to really sort of, prayerfully align, ask God to help me sort of see which basic doctrinal and moral teachings, you know, kind of connected best with the set of Sunday gospel readings. And then really, honestly, Deacon Harold, once I got the correlation done, our kids were a little younger back then, I'm sure that when your kids were younger, you know, whether it was reading or studying or writing books or preparing for the diaconate, you were sneaking, you know, they went to bed, And then you kind of maybe had a little time, you know, to do some of that kind of stuff. So I just kind of chipped away at it week by week. And yeah, I would say all totaled, I'm sure it took me over a year to do it, but it's because I wasn't doing it in huge chunks, you know. I was chipping away at it while we were raising our kids.
Yeah, and like I said, it's very, very well done. So how can this resource, first, I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sibbers, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Ken Ogorek, talking about a wonderful resource that he's putting together, with Dr. Scott Hahn, Breaking the Bread, a Biblical Devotional for Catholics. A wonderful little book here, and it's in a three-volume set, so year A, year B, and year C, that follow along with the Sunday cycle of readings that goes through Advent all the way to Feast of Christ the King throughout the entire liturgical year for all 3 years, A, B, and C. Beautifully done resources, wonderful artwork in here. It's laid out very well, very, very simple to follow. And I love this, Ken, because it's bite-sized, you know, and there's different ways we engage God's word in scripture, right? Because you have the Ignatius Study Bible, right, which is a massive tome, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, so, which is more for priests or deacons preparing for preaching or scholars or something like that. But then what's accessible for the person in the pew? This is, I would say, the one of the most perfect resources. Again, beautifully illustrated as well, so you get the visual along with the devotionals. You get the study questions. It's just so beautifully done. Is this something that's being used, in parishes? Like how have you heard that this resource is being used? We talk about it possibly in schools, which would be fantastic, in homes, parents with their kids using this, as part of maybe a family night of like a family prayer night kind of a thing in preparing for the Sunday readings. But what other avenues have you heard these resources being used?
Deacon Harold, I've heard everything from individuals using it just to help deepen their own personal disciple relationship with Jesus, married couples using it to prepare for Mass, as you said, families, OCIA groups, as far as the breaking open the word process or part of the Christian initiation experience. I've heard of the book being used in that setting. And I would never presume to tell an ordained person what he should read to help prepare his homily. But if someone else suggested, I won't argue with him, right? So I do know that preachers and homilists also make use of this resource, as well as others, of course. But yeah, it's all about... It's all about making just listening to our Lord, especially, you know how he speaks into our life in a direct and personal way sometimes when we're reflecting on scripture or the teaching of the church. So yeah, we just wanted to provide, as you said, a simple resource, accessible. You don't have to have a lot of letters after your name to use this book. Although I will say, no matter how many letters we have after our name, it's always beneficial for us to revisit the basics, right, and connect into our life and listen to our Lord speaking to us.
Absolutely. I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sibbers, listening to Beacon of Truth. We have Ken Ogorek on today talking about a wonderful resource he co-authored with Dr. Scott Hahn at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. It's called Breaking the Bread, a Biblical Devotional for Catholics, based on the 3-year cycle of readings for the Sunday readings, year A, year B, and year C. So, Ken, you know, it seems to me that scripture is making a comeback. What do I mean by that? You know, because previously to the Second Vatican Council, the thinking was more like, you know, well, scripture is really something for priests and bishops and deacons, people that teach the faith. And, you know, our job is just kind of to listen to them. And, you know, they don't really engage God's word very much. But since the Second Vatican Council, especially the document Dei Verbum, the word of God that talks about opening up the scriptures more deeply, deeply to the faithful. People seem to be more and more engaged in God's word. And obviously one of the great catalysts for that has been EWTN. For sure, Mother Angelica always used to have that Bible on her lap. You know, when she did her show, the Bible was always present to her. And I think that really helped influence a lot of people on opening the scriptures more deeply in their own lives. We see that the St. Paul Center, of course, Father Mike Schmitz, The Bible in a Year. When he came out with that, again, looking at God's word through a 365-day cycle, you know, the number one podcast in the world, not just the number one Catholic podcast, the number one of any podcast, secular or religious, in the world was his, The Bible in a Year. So there's this great interest in the Bible. So a resource like that, like you've developed, Breaking the Bread, A Biblical Devotion with Catholics, is perfect. So why do you think there's this resurgence, this kind of re-interest, if you will, in Scripture?
I think prior to the Council, Catholics were certainly familiar with Scripture, but just by, again, going to Mass, hearing the prayers of the Mass and the Scriptures proclaimed. But absolutely, Deacon Harold, in terms of like something you would use on a daily basis, you know, you had that family Bible, but a lot of people didn't really pick it up and open it up every day, right? But you're absolutely right. Yeah. Part of one of the many fruits of the Council was really encouraging people to make sacred Scripture a part of their daily life. And it's interesting, you know, you mentioned Dei Verbum. I love the point made in there that, you know, Jesus himself is the Word of God. As Catholics, we know that both sacred Scripture and sacred tradition together comprise the one Word of God. Of course, the Bible has pride of place, but it's also the basic doctrinal and moral teaching of our church. The Lord will speak to us when we're reflecting on the teaching of the church as well. So that's kind of, again, that's a little bit of the strategy, if you will, behind this resource. I should say, even though it's called a biblical devotional for Catholics, not just for Catholics, like you don't have to be Catholic to read it, right? It's called that because it follows the 3-year cycle of Sunday Mass readings that Catholics hear. But really, I would say anyone who wants to kind of listen for our Lord speaking in sacred Scripture and just the basic doctrinal and moral teachings of our Christian faith would benefit from using this book.
Yeah, there was a time when Lutherans and others were using the same 3-year cycle because it was so rich with Scripture. And I think since then they may have deviated from that now and gotten their own kind of lectionary. But it just shows you how much Scripture is now part of our life as Catholics, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We're fed twice. We're nurtured and fed twice. We're fed and nurtured by God's Word, which prepares our hearts, our minds, and our souls to then receive him again, body, blood, soul, divinity, the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. So we're double fed at Mass. And so I think this devotional that you've developed with Scott Hahn, Breaking the Bread, A Biblical Devotional for Catholics, is a wonderful way for people to engage God's Word in a very simple yet beautiful and powerful way. You know, like, okay, man, I'm not a Scripture scholar, man. I need to delve into God's Word a little more deeply. I don't have time to read like this whole book about the Bible and stuff like this. So what do I do? So, okay, and I listen to Father Mike. That's awesome. But what else can I do? Like, what can I take to adoration? I think this is the perfect resource to take and meditate on in Eucharistic adoration. We talk about adoration a lot on this show. For both Ace and I, you know, that quiet time with God is a game changer. And I think taking a really beautiful way to prepare for each of the liturgical seasons and prepare your heart to engage God's Word more deeply at Mass is by bringing this resource with you to adoration and using it as part of your adoration time just to read and to meditate and reflect on God's Word. So what I would do, if this were me, I would, because it shows you right here what the readings are. So I would look at the readings for Sunday, read through each of them, Isaiah, the Psalms, second reading, Matthew's Gospel, read through each of those readings. And then, you know, after each of the reading and the Psalm, you know, just pause a few minutes, take a deep breath and just reflect. and then dive into the commentary here. You know, and it's very just a couple of pages here, and then at the end you have a couple of questions. So it's after you prayerfully read through the scriptures like a Lectio Divina, and then you read through the commentaries here in this beautiful devotional, and then the questions at the end. I think that makes for a powerful and beautiful time of adoration.
But read, and on the very last page of that first week of Advent, and every week as well, it always ends with a prayer. Well, you know, one of the cool things that's happening at Mass, even though we can't see it, is that all of the angels are there, all of the saints are there. You know, we're plugged in, if you will, to the heavenly liturgy, and I've become more appreciative in recent months, I think, of the communion of saints. You know, the only way I can explain some of the good things that happened to me in my life, I think, wow, there must be a lot of people praying for me, you know? So there's a little prayer at the end of each week. And some of them are directly to God the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, but a lot of the prayers are intercessory prayers. So this devotional, it sort of gets the whole crew, the whole gang involved. You know, by the time you work your way through this thing, you've really asked dozens of our friends in heaven, you know, to walk with you and to pray with you. So those were fun to write, Deacon Harold. That was kind of a fun little piece of this thing to work on.
And I love it, the fact, too, that this doesn't take a lot of time commitment, because a lot of people say, oh, I can't, I don't have time, I don't have enough time. You know, this is done in such a very simple and beautiful way that it doesn't take much time at all to really, you know, break open and feed yourself with God's word, and to make your experience of the Mass that's much more deeper and that much more meaningful. I love it. I'm Deacon Harold Brick-Sivers. We're talking with Ken Ogorek about a wonderful biblical devotional for Catholics called Breaking the Bread that he co-authored with Dr. Scott Hahn. Would love to hear from you. How are you preparing yourself? What resources do you use to delve more into Scripture? How do you reflect on God's word in your own life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we just got a few minutes left, Ken. What else do you want people to know about this, again, this beautiful resource, Breaking the Bread, a biblical devotional for Catholics?
I guess I want them to know that, as you said, it's just to, maybe to recap a few key points, I guess. It's not an enormous book. It's not a highly academic book, although there's lots of good content in it. I have to say the people at the St. Paul Center did a wonderful job of choosing artwork. So in addition to the wisdom of Dr. Hahn and the teaching of the church that I share, you've got this beautiful imagery, a fair amount of cultural diversity. That was important to me. Well, it's important to everyone at the St. Paul Center. It's like let's mix it up a little bit, you know, when we're over the course of these three books, you know, as we're portraying our Lord and the saints and so forth. So the bottom line, I guess, is it's so important to have that personal disciple relationship with the authentic Jesus of sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So we're, you know, Scott and I, Dr. Hahn, we're hoping that people who use Breaking the Bread, they'll grow in knowledge, but they'll hear the Lord speaking to them in a direct and personal way as they reflect on the Sunday Mass readings. And then, as you said, the soil's tilled, they hear the word proclaimed again at Mass, and then they receive the word, right? Jesus Christ, the living word of the Father in Holy Communion, as you said, really, truly, and substantially present at Mass. So we hope it helps people get more out of Mass, and so that the fruits of that Mass will show themselves throughout the whole week.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And again, this is so simple. You know, where people are, and I think that's, for example, podcasts are so powerful right now. Like simple, bite-sized shorts. Like you know, that's like kind of a new thing now. There's like these shorter form videos that you see on Instagram and TikTok and other places. I'm not on TikTok or stuff, but I have somebody that does social media for me. But those short form videos, I think, are very powerful. And this, in a sense, is like a short form book. You know, wonderful. So Ken, how can people get these beautiful devotional books?
The easiest thing to do is simply to go to stpaulcenter.com/breakingthebread. You know, stpaulcenter.com/breakingthebread. It'll take you right to the page.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ken, for being with us today. Tomorrow, we have a very special edition of Word of God Wednesday, Friday edition, because we're talking about the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, which falls on a Sunday this year. Very interesting. So we'll talk about that. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.